Hey-dee-ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. I am the author of the Living Like Christ Devotional Journal book series, and I am the pastor at Alturas Baptist Church. I would like to welcome you to the Lord's message this morning on KCFJ AM 570. Today's message is a continuation of Paul's journey in Greece to the city of Corinth. How do you handle conflicts in your life? No matter what the conflict is, whether it is professional or personal, there is a right way and a wrong way to handle all types of conflict. The Apostle Paul has provided us with the answers on how to respond in a godly way to all conflicts. I will provide those answers and many more scriptural insights in just a few minutes. After you hear this message, come to Alturas Baptist Church at 11 o'clock this morning to hear the next message that the Lord wants me to share with you. I look forward to meeting you when you arrive at 11 o'clock at Alturas Baptist Church. But for now, let's come together in unity and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while also learning a very important life lesson from God that will guide you through this life.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let His little child come in.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this weather. We thank you for allowing us to gather together in your house to be able to hear your word and to learn exactly what you want us to understand and to apply into our lives. Lord, I would like for you to just envelop your love, your compassion, your grace, and your mercy upon all of us. Allow us to have open ears and an open mind to understand what you're teaching us today. Lord, we thank you for each and every person, and Lord, we lift up those who are in pain today. Lord, we have people who have lost family members recent. Lord, be with their families. I lift up each and every family of the victims of both the plane crashes. I lift up the families of those who have lost loved ones in very recent times, and Lord, give them comfort, give them understanding, but most importantly, carry them through this ordeal. And we thank you for never giving up on us, and we thank you for always being there for us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Amen. Please stand, and let's worship our Lord and Savior.
Keep Diane in prayer. She called me this morning, wasn't sure if she would make it now. Told me she wouldn't make it to practice, but she slipped on the ice this morning and fell. So she's not here, so I'm assuming that she's not doing too well. And she had the scripture verses for the songs. So Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord said, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest.
But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Grace greater than our sin.
Yeah.
morning, everyone. I want to say welcome. Welcome to everyone who traversed the bad weather today to come into God's house and to learn His words and His message for each and every one of us. I also want to welcome our visitors. Thank you for coming. Come on up here. I would like to introduce you to this pastor. He is a member of our Feather River Baptist Association. And my apologies, I have a tough time with your name.
Casimiro Tavares.
Casimiro. He is planting a Spanish Baptist church in Tula Lake. And we have been chosen by the association to co-sponsor this church, to help guide it through the process. And so I wanted to introduce him to each and every one of you and let you know that we are going to be helping in God's work through his church. So praise God on that. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
God works in wonderful ways, and it is such a blessing to see his work in real time. Throughout life, we go through situations just like any other human being on this planet. And just because we are Christian, just because we are children of God, that does not make us immune to life of this world. As we have been traveling through the book of Acts, we have seen the ups and we have seen the downs of what the first church went through as they have been beginning the ministry with the teachings of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus taught us that we are to live like he lived. His apostles have been modeling those teachings ever since Jesus ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit to help us, to help them establish that first church, and how we are to learn from those lessons. Now, I thank God each and every day for the fact that the Holy Spirit is here to help guide us in our day-to-day dealings with this world. This is why it is so important to go through this book of Acts so carefully. At this point in Acts, we have been traveling with the Apostle Paul, who has been modeling what it looks like to be living like Christ in this world on a day-to-day basis. The title of today's message is Conflict in Corinth. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 1 through 17. On our Christian journey, we will face conflicts of many kinds. Some of the conflicts are good. Most of them in my life have been bad. Conflicts are just part of this world. And just as Paul discovered, every conflict has the potential to actually derail you from your purpose on your Christian journey. Now, after a series of prison stays, beatings, he was stoned once, and numerous riots that ended up kicking him out of two towns. God speaks to Paul in the middle of all of this, in the middle of even more conflict. What can we learn from his words? Also, I'm just going to say, stick with me on this, because there is an interesting twist that's going to occur. Now, Acts chapter 18, verse 1 starts things off and says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth." We have been studying for the last couple of weeks with Paul being in Athens. What happened in Athens? He was mocked. He was basically, just told to get on with his life. What are after these things, though? What does that mean? Well, for Paul, these was a journey that started with a sharp disagreement with his mentor, his friend, Barnabas. That argument separated them for the rest of their ministry. And for Paul, for the rest of his life. Paul ended up in Asia, uncertain of what direction to take. He was beaten. He was thrown in jail in Philippi. He was chased by violent mobs in Thessalonica. He was run out of town in Berea. He was mocked and ignored in Athens. All of this would be enough for some people to say, you know what? I'm done. This ain't worth it anymore. But that's not what we're called to be. It wasn't all bad, though. He encouraged some churches that he previously had started. He started four churches. He led hundreds to Christ. And he is about to meet three people, Lydia, Aquila, and Priscilla. And these three people help him and help finance this ministry that God has given him for the remainder of his life. Corinth is roughly about 48 miles west of Athens. It sits on a narrow bridge connecting the Greek mainland to the Corinthian Isthmus between the Saronic Gulf and the Corinthian Gulf in the Mediterranean Sea. The whole city was actually destroyed by the Roman army in 146 BC. Because this particular area, though, is extremely important for Roman travel, the Roman Empire rebuilt the city in 44 BC, and they built it as a Roman colony. See, Corinth was a major hub, a major stopping point between Rome and the rest of the world. It was also full of what we would call today thugs and troublemakers. This was one of those extremely immoral places on the planet. I just wanted you to have a little bit of context about what is about to happen. If you go and look at chapter 18, verse 2, it says, "And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." Now we're talking about Paul. Paul is originally, by trade, a tent maker. And Paul has this encounter that will help him in his ministry. He meets a Jew named Aquila and his wife Priscilla, who are also tent makers. They own their own business. And Claudius, the Roman emperor, has kicked them out of Rome. In fact, he has kicked all of the Jews out of Rome. Many scholars believe that the problem was disagreements amongst the Jews over the question of Jesus being the Messiah. Was he or wasn't he? This is the reason that Claudius kicked the Jews out. And Priscilla and Aquila become incredible friends and supporters of Paul throughout the rest of his ministry. Verse 5 says, "When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" Paul has had enough of the division. And the division is being caused by the Jewish traditionalists. And so what does he do? He leaves the synagogue and he says, "That's it. I'm done. Okay." And he goes next door and he focuses on the Gentiles only. Now, last week we found out that Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to share Jesus with both the Jews of the synagogue and the Gentiles, the Greeks in the marketplace. This week, Paul is taking his message only to the Gentiles because he's finding out that the Gentiles are more receptive of what he is teaching rather than the Jews. If you look at verse 7, it says, "And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Paul begins a church directly next door to the synagogue. And then look at what happens. The synagogue leader leaves and follows Jesus. He takes his family and he goes with Paul. Now things are getting crazy. Conflict is all around Paul right now. Looking at it, Jews are being kicked out of Rome. There's a racial war going on between the Jews and the Gentiles. There is conflict with the morality of the city. There are opposing views, and people think that Paul is wrong in that morality. How many times do we get that? Do we get accused of having the wrong kind of morality in today's world? Paul has conflict on several fronts: political, governmental, religion, race, and morality. I'm going to ask, please stand. We're going to go ahead and continue reading the remainder of God's word for today. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 17. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in the city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, touching the word of God among them. Paul realizes how instrumental the city of Corinth was for the entire Roman Empire. If the gospel can take root in this city, imagine what it's going to do. Verse 12, when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow, keep in mind, they are charging him, but they're saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourself, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Now, looking at the word drove, the Greek word that's being used is apollonio, which means to be physically removed, to be forcefully ejected. Gallio forcefully is ejecting the judges out of the area. The people against Paul, he is physically removing them. Verse 17, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. You may be seated. A message was just sent to Gallio. It's like mafia style going on. And what did Gallio do? Shrugged it off. It means nothing to me. Forget about it. You know that there are Roman guards everywhere. Gallio just lets it happen. Here is the scenario. Paul leaves the synagogue and Crispus, the synagogue leader, leaves with him. And so they bring in a new synagogue leader, and his name is Sosthenes. This new guy, Sosthenes, arrogantly, not understanding the political dynamics of that area, figures that he's going to handle this Paul character once and for all. And so he leads the Jews who hadn't left to follow Paul, and then accuses Paul in court. The Roman proconsul has Sosthenes and his henchmen physically thrown out of that court. And the Jewish henchmen turn on Sosthenes and beat him up. Probably because he got them into trouble, ultimately. Now, if I'm Paul and my friends are with me, I'm going to be like, high-fiving and cheering the situation on. Here's the twist. What happened to Sosthenes? Now, 2 years later, Paul is in Ephesus, and he hears about some problems at the church of Corinth. So he writes a letter to the Corinthians to straighten things out a little bit. He begins this letter like this. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Sosthenes accepted Jesus. Sosthenes became a follower of Christ, a Christian, after getting a beating of his life. He follows Paul onto the mission field. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how Sosthenes was converted, so honestly, nobody knows. But here is my opinion on it. Sosthenes was a devoted Jewish leader out to stop the Christian movement, just like Paul was doing when he was stopping the Christian movement, or so he thought, persecuting them, until he got on the road to Damascus. Now, we all know what happened on that road. He found Jesus. Paul and Silas certainly knew what it was like to be beaten. And I think instead of high-fiving each other over the demise of Sosthenes, they had compassion upon him. You know, that whole love your enemies kind of thing that Jesus teaches, I think that's what he was doing. They tended to Sosthenes' wounds. They cared for him, following Jesus' teachings about the Good Samaritan. Sosthenes has never seen love like this before, and he wanted to hear their story. He wanted to hear their testimony. He learns about the true Jesus and comes to trust our Lord and our Savior as his. Now, I would like to ask y'all a question today. What is your conflict? What is the issue that you are dealing with today? Is it a marriage conflict? Is it something going on at work? Is it something with a neighbor? Is it something with me or one of the other church leaders? Is it the morality of the world or the nation that we live in? Is it a race issue or a political issue? What is your life issue that you can't let go of? I have 4 tips for handling conflicts in your life that threatens to derail you away from God. 1, focus on faith instead of fear. The first words that God speaks to Paul in the middle of the conflict was what? Do not be afraid. There are really big problems in our culture right now, but you have a far greater and a much bigger God that can handle anything that can be conjured up by this world. The question really is, are you going to focus on your fear, or are you going to focus on your faith? 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul had been spending a few weeks in each of these cities up to this point. And then God says, do not be afraid. And then Paul spends a year and a half in Corinth. Now, I've stopped focusing on news stories, on political issues, on radio and podcasts. Now, I do keep up with things going on around the world, but I pick and choose where I get this information from. And usually, it's from people that I know. I do keep up with things, though. And I do this to find biblical signatures of what is happening in this world. As all of you know, I don't own any televisions in my home. Lisa and I have decided enough is enough of the worldly garbage coming into our home. And so we don't own any TVs. I'm able to filter what I take in based on importance of the information and where I get it from. because I found myself getting consumed with all of the negativity of this world. And then I was focusing my attentions on that and taking my attentions away from God, where it matters the most, because of what I was viewing. Now, the things I was viewing was political. Things I was viewing was things happening in this nation that is destroying life. That was my focus. Now, I've had some people tell me that I shouldn't be breaking away from the media, that I should be focusing on what is really happening in our life, because I need to know everything that's going on every second of the day. Trust me, I know enough. I know that this nation is in a mess right now. I know that this world is imploding within itself. I know that parents are losing control of their children to the government who wants to run the schools. Girls want to be boys and boys want to be girls. And nobody really knows what they are. So up until now, there has been a focus of 107 different gender identities, which isn't really genders, it's just preferences. There's a thing called a flash mob robbery. Have you heard of this? Where a whole bunch of people will get together, run into a store, and steal things at the same time, and there's too many of them to catch. Republicans and Democrats of this nation are both trying to put each other's leaders and fellow party members in jail. The campaign strategies appear to me to be something to the effect of, I'm not as bad as that guy is. There's no Christian party in government. And the division of this nation is getting wider and wider. Trust me, I know what's going on in this world without having a television. I know enough to be afraid. To be afraid for my family. To be afraid for my country. To be afraid for my church. You. Several years ago, I had to decide what thoughts I wanted to be running around in my head. And I decided on one simple goal that is not only attainable for everyone, but I have actually attained it for myself. I only focus on the things of God. I let go of the things of this world that causes fear. What was my motivation for doing that? Obedience. Obedience to what the Lord has called me to do in this life. My question to you is, are you being obedient to what you have been called to do in this life? The second tip for handling conflict is, don't stop pursuing obedience. Don't sin when the conflict is asking you to sin. Right now, our culture is begging for all occupants of this world, of our society, especially Christians, to sin. Everywhere you turn, sin is the forefront of that. Every message that you hear of the world, sin is the message that's being shown. The world wants us to fail. The world wants to see that we don't have a God to rely on. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. What is he asking right here? Essentially, what is he saying? Peter is saying, don't be ignorant. Don't fall for the worldly trappings of sin just because you're having a conflict. The third tip, remember what you have been called to do and the purpose of that. What are you here to do? What are you on this earth for? What is your calling from God? What has God called you to do for this world? Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, and he said, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. Do you really think that someone is going to hurt you? if it's not in God's will. God is in control of everything. One thing that I just had to shake my head about a few years ago during the pandemic was the fact that I was shocked and amazed at how many people who said that they were Christians were afraid to leave their homes because the government or the doctors or the whomever they were listening to had them convinced that if they left their homes, they were going to die. Child of God, let me tell you something right here and right now. You just heard the words of Jesus in today's text. If it is God's plan that you are to die, there is nothing that you can do to stop it. And vice versa. If it is not your time to die according to God's plan, God's will for your life, there is nothing that can be done to change that either. I had zero fear during the pandemic. I traveled this nation three times across country during the pandemic in a car. Zero fear, because I know that God is in complete control of everything. And I'm also going to say I had no fear, because if by chance I did die from that exposure, so what? Heaven's a much better place than here. It's okay. There's no need to fear. Child of God, if you truly have God in your life, there is no need to fear death. Zero. Because where you're going is heaven. The only people who need to fear death are those that don't have God in their life, because they don't know where they're going when they die. That is something to be fearing of. What is there to fear about when it comes to this life? And also, don't forget, Jesus is calling for his disciples in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth. Your purpose is not to live a life of opulence. It is not to have a life that is easy to get along in this world. Your purpose is not to have a great retirement or to own lots of toys. Your purpose is eternal. And you are supposed to take people with you to heaven. The only thing on this planet that is definitely eternal is people. There's always a new person coming into this world and another person that's leaving. It's a vicious cycle, but it's a cycle that we have to be a part of. This is where we have to be investing our time in, our money, our energy, all of the resources that God has given us. Because all of our purpose, your purpose, my purpose, our calling is people, nothing else. We are called to live holy. See, God said, "Be holy as I am holy." Now, that means that we are to live different from the world. We have to be set apart from the world. Now, here's the final tip. Lean into the God that is with you all the time. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Throughout this life, we are going to come across difficulties. We're going to have conflicts. There's no way to avoid them. And why? Because we live with other people. And that's just what happens. This is also why I am always saying communication is the key to everything. Once communication breaks down or completely falls apart, conflicts are going to arise, and they are going to come between you. We need to use Paul's example and trust God for all of it. In conclusion, we need to use Paul's shining example when you have your own conflict in Corinth, a conflict in your life. Always know that God is with you. Settle the conflicts. Communicate, but most importantly, trust in the Lord to be there to protect you. If you're here today and you have a conflict with someone, settle it. Go to your Father in heaven and put it at His feet and then leave it there. Don't allow this issue to come between you and the ministry work that God has called you to be a member of. If you're here today and you have a need that you haven't let go, come forward. Give it to God. You can pray with me. You can pray with one of our deacons, or you can pray by yourself. It doesn't matter. Just bring it before God. Put it at the foot of His cross and leave it there. We are all given forgiveness by God. We are all given grace and mercy and love. We have to do the same for everyone around us. We have to emulate and exemplify what God gives us to everyone around us. He is calling you right now to release yourself, to pick up your cross, and to follow Him. But you have to release everything that is keeping you away from His love and His free gift of salvation. Come forward. I love you. But most importantly, God loves you. Have a blessed week.
From Revelations 1, verses 5 and 6. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message that you are teaching us through. And Lord, we ask that you guide us through the rest of this week. Show us how to live like Christ in ways that we have never experienced before. Show us how to apply your teachings into our life in order to shine your light amongst everyone around us as never before. And Lord, we thank you for the calling into your family and into your ministry that you have placed upon our lives. Lord, we want to serve you to the best of our abilities, and we ask that you give us those abilities this week. Open those doors to share with the hurting world you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you for sending him to free us from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of this world. And we thank you for his teachings that you have provided for us. And we thank you for his sacrifice. In the loving name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Hello, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street, in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message, right here on KCFJ 570 on the AM dial. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.